Hello, this is Devo. He is amazing.
And that's a lie.
I kind of am.
Okay. Are you ready to record?
Already have myself muted. Let me go make myself a drink. If you want to do the intro, I'll be right back.
Okay. I was going to do it anyways. I don't care what you say. Warning: the following episode will contain spoilers and strong language. I don't know why we do this every episode, but it happens because we just want everyone to be aware. But enjoy! Hello, and welcome to another episode of We're Waiting for You. On today's episode, we'll be reviewing Dune Prophecy, Season 1, Episode 2 and 3. I'm your host, Star. Devil's getting water right now, so let's see how. Well, he said he's making himself a drink, but let's see. Still waiting for Devo. We're very professional in certain areas, trust me. And we're still waiting.
I'm back.
Oh my God. Once again, I'm your host, Star, along with my co-host, Devo. Say hi.
Hi.
Just want you to be aware, Devo. Me and the audience have been waiting here for like 13 minutes, man. But we'll cut it in production. Just for you. Nothing to say? Devo?
My.
Holy hell, what the hell just
Can you hear
happened to
me
you?
now?
Now I can hear you. What happened?
Accidentally have my mic muted. I keep forgetting that the Y button is to mute my mic.
Once again, people, very professional, believe me.
I'm
Just in
trying.
some areas we're professional.
Yeah. We had a little vacation for Thanksgiving break. It happens.
But yeah, Tifo doesn't remember the Y button on his damn controller.
They
Anyways,
change these Xbox remotes every year. I don't remember where things are.
shut up. Anyways, once again, we're going to be reviewing Dune Prophecy, Season 1, Episode 2 and 3. Oh boy, Tifo. Last off, we left off Episode 1 with a child burning alive and one of the sisters. And yeah.
Yeah, so it's darker. It gets it's definitely more of an HBO show. Can we agree on that right now?
Yeah,
After the
absolutely.
yeah.
It's funny 'cause you go, "Oh, I was excited that the kid, I like this kid, and every show we hate the kids, but this one I liked." I started off the episode watching it, and the first thing I see is the kid burning. Ah! I'm like, "Oh shit, I forgot about this."
Yeah, the little review thing. But we also get a like early on in this, we also get a just a super long graphic sex scene. Did that go on like longer than you expect?
For Dune, yes, because yes, it and you're talking about between the prince and the Duke's daughter. They just fucking go at it. It was a little
Yeah.
ridiculous because yes, we see it in Game of Thrones, but for Dune, we have never seen anything like this, and they just threw it in there. And by the way, we made the prediction. We said we'll probably see something more like, breasts or what you said, boobs, and then a shadow of a penis or something. And we got that in this, which was with the girl's breast. He was all kissing and licking it, and I was like, "Holy shit! They were not holding back. This is we got this spot, pretty much spot on."
And to be fair, they did. It was a big plot point. It
Yes.
wasn't a useless scene, too. It was the Duke Richese's daughter was there trying to ex obviously extract information from the dipshit bastard of
Son.
Carino.
Yes,
Yeah,
and
he's a bastard though too.
yes, and it's funny because they could have done this really without showing. It could have just been the end of the sex, like they're all just resting on the bed, but they made sure to prove a point. I don't know what was the point here, but they show the whole thing. But they showed it at the beginning that they were eyeing each other. They were kind of eye fucking each other. But you can tell as soon as she's questioning him what exactly she was trying to do. And I was like, "Oh, this fucking dumbass is getting pulled for information here.
Yeah, he's not very bright. It's a good thing that he's not going to be in charge of anything and that it's going to be going to his sister Inez.
As far as we know.
Yeah, I mean, as so far as we know, I mean, I don't, we don't know. But at least we get a little bit of a, face off for the Emperor and trying to defend his actions while at the same time, I mean, that's, we get in these 2 episodes, 2 and 3, we get essentially whatever the hell Desmond Hart is, he does not like the Sisterhood
Not at all.
whatsoever.
No, and I
I
kept.
mean, I don't mean to say he too, because I mean it very much, you get the idea that he is no longer he anymore, right? That he's being controlled by some entity.
Right, and it goes on in the episode later on when, Desmond and the Superior Mother face off against one another, and she has the line of, "It's what he believes in." He speaks the truth as he believes it is, but it's a lie. That's exactly what she says. And you can kind of see that. He obviously got some powers from when he went up against Shai Hulud, which is the sandworm.
Correct. Yeah, and it's, the show's progressing in a good way in that it's bringing in more families, more houses. We get to see in these 2 episodes, we get to see House Atreides and House Harkonnen, which is cool. Not
Yes.
exactly at their peak as they are in the Dune movies. Like,
Well,
House Harkonnen is.
you're alluding to episode three, though.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just trying to, just kind of button up the two together kind of thing, because you get more about what is driving Tula and Valya,
Valia, yeah.
Vala,
Valia.
Valya. Yeah, Tula and Valya Harkonnens, and you get a little bit of their desire and what. I mean, is it really going to be like the prophecy, or are they manipulating the prophecy to be their own thing, right? And that's kind of what Desmond Hart is kind of a talking about, right?
Yes and no. That's not what I got from this episode.
No?
No, because in this episode, the sisters find out that the Richesi boy died as well as their sister, right? But then in this episode, we also get Carino finds out that Kesha died, and then we get a little Princess Ines starts sobbing over Kesha. Obviously, she had an emotional connection with her, but you can tell the sisters are still sticking to a plan they had here. Whatever that plan was from when we try to find out from episode one is, Valya is stuck on the notion that, hey, I was chosen by the Reverend Mother, Rakela, to lead the sisterhood, to lead the path, to lead the everything they've been building up to. That's what I got so far on this episode. And then we find out in this episode that Atreides, the sword master, is part of the rebellion. That kind of took me by shock. I wasn't expecting that. But sticking with Tula and Valya, I didn't get any of that just yet. I mean, obviously,
Aja,
go ahead.
yeah, I was just saying, it just felt like a that face-off scene between Valya and Desmond Hart. You had two of them in this episode, right? You had the first one, which was the interrogation scene,
Right.
and then you had the ending face-off scene when you realize that the voice doesn't work and stuff like that. I just it feels like, I mean,
Obviously,
because.
she's manipulating certain things here, so the plan goes back to the plan, right? Because she didn't count on fucking Desmond to get powers or this guy to come in and throw everything off, and then her sister died, and now the Richesi boy died. This is being thrown all out of whack, her plans for the sisterhood. Obviously, they have a motive on their end. We haven't yet seen the motives, but we know that they're trying to push this narrative of, we're going to control it. That's what I've seen so far.
Yeah, and you, but you also have, her Tula questioning her sister constantly. Are you sure this is right? Should I go check the, what is it, the codex, like the life codex? Should
Yeah.
I go check the codex to make sure that this is the right marriage? This is obviously before the Duke's kid dies. But you have several scenes like that where they're questioning constantly Valya's decisions.
Yeah, I don't trust Valia for
And
anything, and neither should the sisters.
no, No, and that's where I think is that's what she's misinterpreting what Desmond Hart is. It's kind of funny. I think Desmond Hart is like the purging fire. He's there to fix the sisterhood, not destroy it.
I
And
think he's
he's
that
not.
balance. He's that balance for it.
Yeah, because he's coming there talking about their lies, and you think maybe that's the sisterhood lies, or is that just values lies? And that's really what we get going when the episode ends with their little face-off, that Desmond Hart is a lot more powerful than she imagined. A lot more powerful.
Right. Yeah, and I'm surprised he didn't try to kill her. I thought that was going to be kind of one of his motives because we find out at the end that, she doesn't meet up with the Emperor. She meets up with him because he was like, the kingdom does no longer needs your services. So I was like, I wonder if he's going to turn his blade now. But no, he didn't turn his blade. He let her go. And he doesn't come up as a real threat just yet. I'm guessing it's because he knows if he kills the Reverend Mother or the Superior Mother right now, it's a bigger issue. He obviously has these powers right now. But taking a step back, even from them, is that once again, Atreides is part of this rebellion. We see the part where he's scanning the damn palace. And I was like, what the hell is he doing? And until we find out, he's scanning it because of the rebellion. And then we find out Mikaela is part of this rebellion, but on the seeker side for the sisterhood. Bro, this was a really good episode in the way it showed what everyone's part is. Because I was wondering, who is this chick, Mikaela? We rarely saw her. And the first episode, obviously, it was the first episode, but then we see her more and more on this episode, and then we find out, oh shit, she's part of the sisterhood. And it just, by the way, we got a really good story out of this after the whole, when Atreides goes back to the princess Inez and she's, pouting like a child because the sister died, and it just showed that she's not in control of her emotions. She tells Atreides about the broken chain. I thought that was really cool how they throw in these little lures about Dune. And she explains how the rebellion once happened when her father was off world stopping something, and then they took the children in the palace. I was like, I love when they do this. That was so well done. And even Atreides was like, I have never heard of this. What the hell are you talking? And now it's going to happen all over again from what we can tell.
I mean, it's there's something else I forgot to mention too on the ending of this episode was the Lila's death, quasi quote marks. When she takes the poison
Right,
and
the
she's supposed
agony.
to be speaking to, the agony, she's supposed to be speaking to the sisters. That is, we get to see the woman, the sister that Valya killed in the first episode, that she's there still, I guess, as a spirit or as a, in the whatever land, whatever world that that scene went to. That appears to be a, I kind of had a, I kind of had that as a throwaway scene at first in my notes. I didn't pay as much attention to that. But if people who are watching pay attention to that scene because they revisit it in episode three.
That's a big
I mean, it
scene,
was
though.
important. It was a big scene, but I mean, I just thought that was going to be her death and that we would no longer be dealing with that character, Lila. But like I said, episode three. Uh-oh. Big deal.
Right. Yeah, I mean that was a big scene just because we find out that she does connect with Raquella. Raquella gives him this next notion of the, a little trivia about the burning and the rebirth or whatever that she said, right? But then we
Burn,
find out.
born, one, yeah, firstborn of blood, secondborn of spice.
Right. And then we find out that it goes and transforms from Raquella to her great grandmother, and which is the person that you said,
Valya killed
Valya,
Dorothea.
yeah. And she, like, it was a really good scene the way that she said, "You stole my future. Now I'm taking your hope." I was like, holy shit. Oh, she says Harkonnen. That's what she said, Harkonnen. You stole my future, now I'm taking your hope. I was like, whoa, but that's your granddaughter, and she just fucking offs her and gives her to the pack of wolves around her type of deal. But that was our first introduction into, how they can connect with their ancestors via the agony and connect and get answers. But yeah, they truly use that girl. I mean, you can tell they obviously she didn't want to use her for that, but she was really pushed by the superior mother to, like, hey, you got to do this. It's sisterhood over everything. So, yeah.
And you know, it's they didn't show you that in the Dune movie, probably because it's weird. Remember I talked about weird, the things are going to get weird in the third Dune movie, Dune Messiah, and this show is kind of like the introduction to weird. So in the Dune movie, we just see, you know, Paul
All
Atreides and his
Atreides, right?
mother. They both take the agony, and we don't see anything. We just show them laying on the ground. You see some kind of cool artsy vision, you know, of people dying and stuff like that, but you don't see that hands-on meeting their ancestors kind of stuff.
Right.
So it was interesting to see that.
Yeah, and it's crazy how much power that Mother Superior holds, because she was able to convince her to make sure Lila undergoes the agony, convince her in any way, because she, in this whole episode, they said it several times, which were sisterhood above sister, but sisterhood above all. And not only did she get her to convince her to do have Lila go undergo the agony, but even when she arrived on the palace, the emperor was like, "What the fuck?" And the duke was like, "What the hell?" And then everybody's greeting her, and she just immediately, hand signals the other sister, like, "Hey, get him the fuck out of here, and let me handle shit here." And everybody's like, "Oh yeah, sure, yeah, no problem." And bro, everything in this entire episode, everything that she commanded very well, and everybody was like, "What the fuck?" Obviously, except for when she confronted Desmond, that did not go well for her. But yeah, that was. I love the way that they show how much she commands power.
Yeah, no, it was a good episode, and you know, it didn't. It's not as fast as Penguin. We just previously did Penguin. It's not as fast as that, but at the same time, it's got a lot more other stuff going on. I mean, it's not just following around Cobb, Oswald Cobb. We got a lot of moving pieces here, so they can't just run away and accelerate the story because they got to build. They have to build. And we only have six episodes. They got to build. So there's really only going to be probably one big event that's going to happen here. And that's going to be whatever the hell Desmond Hart eventually gets up to.
Yeah, I mean, and just even speaking about Desmond, it says the Duke had a big part in this episode. He comes out in several scenes where he even talks about, like, he threatens the fucking Emperor, bro. Bro, that was crazy. Like, the way he was threatening the Emperor, he was telling him shit. And you can tell the Emperor was having none of this shit, and he was like, "Fuck this," type of deal. And the Empress even notices, like, "Hey, why don't we make our friends our friends?" And bro, this it's just the way they played out, even using the Duke and all this, was just very well done.
And that kind of takes us right into episode three, right?
Yep, right? Because right in
And
episode two, it just unleashes, and then we get right into episode three about it.
one thing that I'm interested in that in the movies, the home world of the Harkonnens is Geddi Prime. It's very well known through all the Dune stuff. That's one of the, you know, it's right up there with Tatooine for the Star Wars people, right?
Jesus, I get tired of fucking Tatooine.
I know, but it's a big deal. But Geddi Prime's a big deal. But we find out in this one, the current home world 10,000 years ago is Lankaville, and it's a ice world, and they're harvesting furry whales. Whales with fur on them, which kind of goes back to our last episode of, you know, he's trying to sell the whale fur. But yeah, he's harvesting that, and you get to see the family. This is now the reason why we're seeing it is because this is where Tula and Valya came from. This is them growing up before they join the sisterhood. And you get to see them being upset little kids, right? They have big aspirations,
I was I don't want
almost.
not at the beginning, no. I mean, at the beginning we just get the flashback, but it just showed how Valya was more pushing the envelope on anything else.
Yes. I mean, but they were sitting at the dinner table, and it felt like the family was ready to be resigned to like blue collar workers.
The family,
And
yes.
Yeah, and Valia and Tula were not. They were felt very prideful about their names, and they wanted to make their house a great house again. And that is important because that's kind of the story of this episode, and I think what we're seeing with the two sister Harkonnens running the sisterhood is they're kind of using their positions possibly to bring their house back. We'll see. Because obviously something happens, right? Because by the time Dune comes around, the Harkonnens are one of the most powerful families in the universe. They're in charge of, in the Dune movie, they're in charge of Arrakis, and they're wealthy and they're extremely powerful.
So, I love how this episode opens up with Superior Mother and the sister getting kicked out of the palace because it shows just like it kind of moves on, like get the fuck out of here type of deal. Where do we go from here? And they transition into the flashback, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't get that from Tula at the first flashback we got because we got several flashbacks. I think we got like six, seven flashbacks in this episode, but in the first one, it was all about Valia being upset about, the family name and how, and she explains this, how Vorian Atreides made this lie about her family and how they lost status. And the only thing I got was Griffin was on her side because he, it felt like he owed her a lot for saving his life when he was drowning or whatever. And obviously they have a good kinship between the three of them, right? They're siblings. And that was great to see. The mother, I don't know what the fuck happened to the mother, that she's like, what is wrong with you? Where's this greed coming from? Where is this? Like, I from a Harkonnen, from what we've seen, is they demand the power to demand everything. And by the way, Devo, we saw the guy you've been waiting for in this scene, which was Uncle Robert Baratheon. I mean, Uncle Harkonnen.
Yes.
So he was introduced. He wasn't his jolly funny self, but yeah, from what I've seen, yes, the family was happy with just being blue collar, except for Valia, and she has this demeanor about her that attracts her siblings because Griffin, like I said, I guess he feels like he owes her, but then also Tula is just connected because hey, that's my sister, but she they didn't it didn't feel like they were on board 100% with this.
One thing about that, by the way, I'm just so upset that it's a back in the day thing, by the way, because I went into how much I love that actor, Robert Baratheon, and it's not going to be him in his prime for the rest of the show. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of depressing for me.
Well, I mean,
I was hoping he was going to be like the head of the house. If remember we talked about how this show's could be going on for 5, 6, 7. If it was successful, it could be going for numerous seasons.
right?
He will not be a part of it, I
No, he
don't
will
think.
not. No, I don't think so either. No, he's already old, right? In this flashback.
Yes.
And then when we actually do see him later on in the episode again, in current times of this Dune prophecy, he is on the fucking deathbed from the looks of it.
Yeah, and that's depressing for me. I didn't like that, but it is what it is. I mean,
Yeah.
can't have your cake and eat it too. I know.
Yeah. But anyways, going back to what well, we're adding this first flashback. I love that Griffin connects with Valia and says, you saved my life, this and that. Tell you what, when I go off world to, I'll speak to Vorian. And it's immediately after that, he goes, I'll make sure our name is heard. Immediately after that, we see him fucking dead. We're like, oh shit.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I
Vorian
started
did not.
laughing.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. We really don't know. I mean, he might be a massive dick, or he just really misplayed his hand. We don't know.
So here's what I'll say. I know what happens between them. I'm not going to say it here. I'll wait until well, kind of our season recap. I'll kind of let it out, and I got a note about it. But you can see it in Valia's face that, nobody knows. As an audience, we don't know, and we're all like, holy shit, they fucking kill this guy, right? Bro, it was, they were not having that shit. You can tell Valia was ready, and this is when we find out Valia is being shipped off to the Sisterhood.
Yeah, definitely. And you get another thing in there too that because like you said, it's jumping to and from time, so it's really hard to stay in the old timeline. Like talking about this in the way the episode was structured, It's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
And you get a moment where Valya, the line, born of blood, born of spice, first born of blood, second born of spice, she is 100% convinced that's Desmond Hart.
Yes.
Which is funny because that's the backstory for Paul Atreides.
Well, say it again.
Obviously,
What is the riddle?
the quote unquote the Messiah slash the person that'll bring the downfall of the Sisterhood, essentially their
Yeah.
Ragnarok, is an individual that will be born of first born of blood, and then born of spice. And Valya internalizes everything, so she believes that this is Desmond Hart. That's who she thinks this is. Is that Desmond Hart is this person, and this is, it's like ask every, like we, me and you, Star, we had 2012, right, as our apocalyptic year. Every generation has the quote unquote apocalypse year, right? They have something that they think, this is it. I'm going to be alive for the end of whatever my world is. And that's
Okay.
essentially what Valya's at. Is Valya doesn't realize, I don't think, that this prophecy, which the name of the show is going to come to fruition in 10,000 fucking years.
Right, she thinks
So
it's right
she's
around the
thinking,
corner.
she thinks that she's the one. She's going to be the Reverend Mother. She's going to be the mother that is going to be the one fighting this war. She has, and she's using this belief or whatever, or self-centeredness to believe that. And it could be what causes the downfall of her role in the Sisterhood,
Sets them back in it, per se, yeah.
or as I possibly could think, she could turn to the Harkonnens as, you know what I mean, as the way to
Saviors of
vent
it?
her anger. Yeah, like that's the
Yes.
reason why House Harkonnen is so powerful, is because of that.
Right. And so going back to what you said earlier, so the key to the reckoning is one born twice, once in blood, once in spice. And the way I saw that, once again, like you said, it's Paul Atreides, right?
Correct. We
And in
now
this,
we know that because we can see that.
we know that. And I mean that just, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, this is talking about Paul, born in blood and then one in spice, right? But then, yes, I'm with you. She believes that she is the key to this, the prophecy, which she is not. But I'm also with you that she is the reason why the Harkonnens just fly into power from when we start seeing, Dune and Paul Atreides and all that. Because right now, what we find out on this episode, which is episode three, is that right around the ending when she visits the Harkonnen home, is that they're doing very well. They're not in a powerful status. They're just doing well because of their welfare, industry, whatever, right?
Yes.
From this point to where we get at in 10,000 years, something happens. You can tell that she unhinges the full power of the Harkonnens because now, one, you got Desmond Hart in the way, so she needs powerful allies. I kind of think, Devo, that Mr. Robert Baratheon is going to get it in the back again and die, and then she's going to
Yeah.
use her nephew to raise the Harkonnen into power, right? And she's going to do that with the Sisterhood, the True Sayers, and she's going to manipulate and control this. I'm with you, 100%. She is losing sight very fast in control of this because not only is she fighting this front with Corino and Desmond Hart, but now she has to fight this with the Harkonnens because, Uncle Harkonnen is in the way here, as we can see. She's also losing the fight with her own sisterhood because now we find out in this episode that Tula is using the Bacta tank pretty much to save Lila's life. And she's using forbidden science, pretty much, forbidden
Thinking
technology.
machines. Yep.
Yeah, right. And she is using it without her consent. So I see that as a struggle because I can see that in the next episode she's probably going to blame her. Who knows? But She's getting it on all fronts here. She is going to really fast lose control of everything she's trying to do, and I'm with you that she's going to use Hulk Harkonnen here to unleash her wrath. Because even with all that, we have like five other flashbacks that shows us, holy shit, your guys' childhood, both her, Valya, and Tula's, was majorly fucked up. And I believe that's what they were showing us here, Al. She does not let anything get in her way. And in this episode, they find out, they use those words like, we do what we must do. And we hear Tula say it throughout the episode. And then, you know, I was like, holy shit, this is showing us that they're gonna unleash their powers throughout the next four episodes and fuck everything up.
Yeah, I mean it's not, I don't know. I mean, I haven't read anything. I don't know anything. I don't have, like, at least with like other shows, you kind of feel where they're going with it. You know, I have no idea where they're going with this. I just know how it ends. I know that House Atreides becomes a superpower, and I know it doesn't do. I know I haven't heard fuck. I haven't heard shit about the Richazes. Now, at the end of Dune 2, it did say that the great houses are here.
You're right.
So maybe the Richazes are in that. You know what I mean?
Right,
Maybe the
right. We
Richazes are a part of that.
Richaz, we never really heard of the Richazes in any of the Dune movies. You know, this is could have been just for they introduced them here to get the story along because the Richazes party was a big part. Maybe they are part of the family. We don't know. But I love the fact that they're using this to tell us the story of Dune and the other families because Richazes, from the looks of it, was supposed to be a big part, and we know that Atreides is already a big deal because they introduce us to Vorian and the other Atreides that we find out and don't last too long. But yes, I just love the fact that they're using everything besides Atreides. Yeah, listen, you got to include the Atreides because they're a big part of the story. But I love that they introduce the Richazes. And then I'm hoping to find out, but from what I can tell, the recap for the next episode when they show this at the end, there's a whole bunch of families there that, as far as I can tell, are probably going to get cooked to death, but we'll see once we get there. But this brings us to our next kind of little flashback we had here, which Tula's flashback. And I love they did a Tula flashback because we see what drove her to the sisterhood. Devo, as soon as I saw her opening the animal and she was using the poison, I was like, oh man, this poison is going to play a big part maybe at some point. But when she used it for the horse, I was like, oh, that's the end of that, right? Holy shit, Devo. That was not the end of that.
No, she wiped out what would you call that? A camp of Atreides?
Oh, shit.
Obviously, it was not the entire house, you know. It
Right.
was, and is she's? We don't know anything more beyond that. But I got to imagine she didn't just go and just wipe out one encampment. I got to imagine this wasn't her first rodeo.
I think it was those first one. Because the way
Really?
she, yeah, I think because the way she acted with Ori, the Ori Atreides, and she like, I really saw
I think that.
sincerity and love in her, and throughout that flashback with, you know, she came from the Force. What?
I would say that I believe that's the first time she's fallen in love, but I felt like she had been killing Atreides. Maybe that was the final one. Maybe that was the final Atreides killing she did
I don't think so.
because it became emotional. Because she didn't
No.
really. She came in there with such a hardcore plan.
A very well thought out plan. It's
Yeah.
so she you can actually obviously tell that they staged this for a while. Like she planned this out. And maybe she had help from Valya. We don't know the whole story there, but the way she did it, she put the poison and she did it nonchalant. And I'll agree with you on that she did it nonchalant when she said, "Hey, take this to the kind of to the fire." And everybody started splacking on the black goo, and you can tell there was poison in it. And I didn't catch on to the poison at that point, but when she was talking to Ori in the bedroom, and I was like, "Why is she trying to kick him out?" She started making out with him, and they made love. That was our second, like our third love scene, second and first one in this one.
Three
But
and three, yeah, three and
yeah,
three
one for
episodes.
each, right? And this one we didn't get any boobs, like you say, but
Not boobs, which is a shame
right.
because that girl is quite an attractive actress
Oh,
too.
she is very attractive. But she has a talk with Ori and she kind of comes clean, right? She tells, "Listen, my name is not Tula Vale." And he's like, "What do you mean?" And you know, she's going back and forth when she goes, "It's Tula Harkonnen." And he was like all cool about it. And I was like, I really like Ori. Like,
Ah,
he's
yeah.
very, bro, she comes clean, and this man is so understanding. And he go, and I love the lines they gave him where he said, listen, the war between our family, that's driving them against one another. That's on our ancestors. That's not us. Let's not let that drive us. And I was like, holy shit, that is so understanding. If that was played throughout history with, let's say, the British Empire, the French, or any other throughout history, because what happens in our real life history, right? They always say our families have been at war for years, and then war continued, right? It obviously is not
Yeah.
what's going on here anymore, but that shows you in this Dune's kind of universe. That was still driving this, and he was so understanding. I was like, boy, I love Ori. And when he said, why is this so quiet? I was like, oh shit, what the fuck is going on outside? Was this a setup? We see them all dead, all the Atreides, because once they started singing, Devil, once they started singing Atreides, 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 I was
Yeah.
like, holy shit, wait a minute, she's in a Atreides camp? And when he went out there and saw them all dead, and she came from behind him, I was like, oh, he's dead. Right there with the poisoning.
Yeah.
And Devil, I was like, holy shit. And I know you're saying this is not her first rodeo. Maybe she killed one or two in the past, but not in this fear, because maybe
No,
she
yeah,
was
I
in
think
love. Maybe she was in love with
yeah,
Ori, but I don't know, bro.
this is definitely the first time that it was personal. The other ones, I think she was experienced. I think she was definitely a killer, 'cause that's a
Okay.
killing move.
Could have been. Yeah, I mean.
And yeah. And also, we didn't see, I didn't see the connection. I mean, I understand just Atreides might be just enough, but I didn't see like her single out the actual person who killed her brother Griffin.
Right.
I didn't
Well,
see that. So,
we find out that the whole time they were blaming Vorian, but even when Tula goes back home, and so does Valya from the Sisterhood, Valya even says it, did you get Ori? So they obviously planned that. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
they think Ori killed him, unless they were just signaling Ori, because maybe Ori is part of Vorian's family of Atreides, but who, I have no fucking idea at that point. But bro,
Yeah.
they plan to kill Ori and his family.
Yeah, and it's pretty brutal. You get some some cool imagery with the bull showing up there at the end,
Yeah, it was kind
which is
of
the symbol of House Atreides.
right, and they were there to chase a bull. It was just funny that bull shows up and is like, oh, you fuckers are gonna kill me? He's just like, they were gonna come kill me, but that bull came close to death, bro. Anyways.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, that to be honest, that's kind of wrapping up the episode there.
Well, hold on, hold on. We still got a flashback for Valya where we see where she's questioning everything, right, from the Sisterhood. And we find out when the Reverend Mother that she kills, when she first used the voice, she was kind of a bitch, but you can see why she was a bitch. She was trying to be straight and narrow. And we see here where Valya starts to, once again, what you said, Diva, was she's kind of manipulating everything. That Reverend Mother didn't want that. She wanted everything. She even says it. You're like, who's to choose what truth we give? She goes, we don't, you know? But we see where Valya's like, no, truth is power. I think we should use that to our advantage, type of deal. But then also the Superior Mother, which is Rakela, takes her under her wing and shows her everything. And that whole just flashback with Valya kind of shows us how she ascended under the Superior Mother and kind of raised through the ranks and decided, hey, with Tula, we're taking this shit over. And I was surprised that we see how the Tula joined the Sisterhood, which was because of Valya, after she
Yes.
underwent the agony.
Yeah, and that was kind of a cool scene too. Just out here, her out in the snow.
Yeah, true. True.
Yeah, and it's I'm expecting to see a lot more of that in the next episode because we're gonna progress to visiting the Harkonnen household
I
and
can't wait for that. I cannot wait. By the way, the
yeah.
Harkonnens are not what they are envisioned in the Dune movies. They seem more like the rubber Baratheon family, or
Yeah.
even Ned Stark's, because they're all in black right now, but they're not bald. They're not all painted white or whatever they're using. But it would be
Yeah,
nice to see
really
how
weird,
they.
right?
Right. It's weird for Harkonnens, which is odd to say, because in the movies, they're really weird.
Yes. Something happens.
Yeah.
And like I said, maybe it's from living on that planet. Maybe it's from the radiation from that cool white sun.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That might be it.
From Like I said, I'm not going to stop thinking about Getty Prime because that's such a cool planet. And at the same time, I understand like that was also really fucking expensive to film. So I understand why the show might not want to get right into Getty Prime.
Right. It was
But
so
we'll
I don't
see.
did you see the recap for the kind of the behind the veil what they did for the episode? They kind of showed us how they created the snow and all that, and I was like, holy shit, it's green grass everywhere, and these fuckers put a lot of time and emphasis to make it snowy, which was great. They did a hell of a job on that. But I was like, wow, they invested a lot of time. I'm surprised because Marvel would have just gotten a kind of like a theater and just put everything in white and said fuck it, that's the type, what's the, that's what they're doing,
Yeah.
everything with AI. But it looks so genuine, Devo, that I was happy to see
Yes.
that, and I can't wait for Gideon Prime as well.
Yeah, me neither. Like I said, I'm super excited to see where it goes, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and by the way, one of the other
If
predictions we said was they have to introduce the Akkonans here at some point, and they did. And I think I said by episode 3 we have to be introduced to them because, well, we have six episodes, right? So,
Yeah, so we're halfway through already. And
right,
it
and
doesn't
boom,
feel like
another
much has
prediction.
happened. I hate to say it, but it really doesn't feel like much has happened.
No, you're absolutely right. I feel there's so much that we're gonna get pushed, like in episode 5 and 6, because episode 4, they still have to talk about what they're gonna do, what she's gonna do with the Harkonnens. We find out Duca Richesi was told get the fuck off the planet and go back to yours. So we don't even know what's gonna happen with Richesi still. We still don't know what's gonna happen with Desmond Hard. We see a bunch of families come in. Bro, there's so much that they're gonna have to push here, and we only got 3 episodes left. It's gonna if I hope I'm really hoping it's not gonna be a rush, because one thing that you and I always say, even when Creature says it, is the pacing of each episode. We love it when a show does it right, and I hope at the end they don't fumble this and just push it all at once.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, still the music score, the visuals, superb. Just superb.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, it's a really visually it's beautiful. I love the shots that we're getting of each world. That's a big, I talked about how much I love tables or maps. I love
Yep.
maps and tables. And the other thing I love of any sci-fi universe, the table and the map thing is more about fantasy, like Lord of the Rings. With sci-fi, I love the fucking arrival onto the planet, showing the mood of the
Bro,
planet, right?
you
That
took that
fucking.
shit just from my mind, because that's exactly what I was thinking of. When the aircraft comes down and lands, right? Bro,
We get to see that so many times in the show, and I fucking love it. We get to see the spaceport of each planet. It's so
Yes,
cool.
and how they land, they come in for a landing. Like when Superior Mother, when Valya was still hasn't taken her vows, and the aircraft came down sideways and landed, and then we see it again, but on the Carino's home world of the Imperium, where the airplane comes in and just lands sideways. I actually do that in Star Citizen, and it's so much fun and so cool to watch that. You're absolutely right. I love when they create a nice atmosphere, like Blade Runner, I should say, the first one, how they use the smoke, right, to kind of show this ambiance, and they do that well in this Dune universe. But then they use the lights, they use a nice atmosphere, like it feels like real, right? And that's what I like. The same thing when they come in for a landing, like you say, you see the sun, the water, the sky, the buildings. I stop my TV. I'm watching this in 4K, and I stop it to kind of look at each and every little piece. It looks really cool. It really looks well done.
Yeah, I agree. And then if that's what the future is going to be like with this technology, I'm all for it because I really, really, really want. We talked, how Star Wars, when it first did the mini, what do you call it? The diagram stuff, like the mini worlds and stuff like that. And then they'd film it to make it look like a big city or a big ship. There was definitely a cost there, the Lucasfilms, and we would never see something like this in a television show.
You're correct. You're right.
And
Yeah.
that,
Like,
and
hey,
that
where's
always
all the
hurt a
cool,
television
like,
show, something that was going to
wide
try to be some kind
shots?
of grand
They
thing.
couldn't afford it.
Because it's a fucking television show. Now we have the technology to make it cheap enough so that we're getting really beautiful grand wide shots in a HBO television show. And HBO is usually one of the cheaper of them, the production companies. So I love that.
One thing I want to say, I'm still pretty bummed we're only going to get 6 episodes. I'm still thinking about that. I can't. I would like to have more episodes. I mean, it's me being greedy, but if they give me more seasons, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and I haven't even checked. I was going to save this until the finale, but I haven't even checked to see how it's doing. I know the tomatoes and stuff like that are not great. They're in the 70s, but then again, I wasn't expecting magic, of course, I wasn't
Right.
expecting, because the Dune universe isn't a big universe for everyone. But I haven't seen if the ratings have been going up or going down or sideways. I don't know. I know the Penguin was a big hit. I'm hoping this one is too, because it would be nice to get a, this to get going for years.
Right. And not to go into it, because I think you're right. We should wait to the kind of season wrap up, but as of right now, it's just on the average bar. It's sitting
Yeah.
on average almost everywhere I looked. I actually saw this when I was looking at episode two. Actually, when I was re-reviewing episode two today, I saw it, like, the reviews are just right in the middle, and it's, I guess people were expecting more of action or adventure out of it, but that's not Dune itself. But let's see. Let's go into it once we get in, like you said, once we do a recap.
Yeah, and maybe also them going hard R is going to hurt them more than they think it would help them. We'll see. Yeah,
Possibility.
it's going to be hard to, A lot of people, a lot of kids that are big fans of Zendaya are like, "Hey, this is other Toon show." And mom and dad are like, "Nope, we're not watching it."
Well, episode four, if they keep this trend running, episode four, we're gonna get more boobs. Episode five, episode
More boobs.
six, maybe
Yep.
boobs. But I guess, but that wraps up episode three. We just gotta wait for episode four. And we go from there. Anything else we missed?
No, that's it. That's it. Like I said, they can find us at on the Twitter at WW4UPOD, and we'll I'll be sharing stuff and talking about theories and stuff like that once I really start getting back from Thanksgiving break, and we'll see how it goes.
Sounds good. I think that wraps it up. Once again, everyone, thank you. Can't wait to have you back for episode four. Have a good one.
See ya. I keep forgetting that the Y button is to mute my mic.